what you're thinking about? Well, you know, I mean, your point about whether you've crossed the line and I've come to the edge, but you're not sure I've crossed the line of sanity.
Right. Well, judging from the lyrics that you bring, the poetry and the lyrics that you bring, it's about questioning your sanity, questioning your mental state, and not really waking up or dealing with the realization that you've crossed over.
Well, why don't we write that down? No, I just wrote it, Crossing Over. That's the title of something.
That's still passive. That's a spectator. It's not being a participant.
A participant.
Right. And I think you're coming to it from a spectator's point of view and not a participant's point.
Because of the last, what do we call that song anyway?
Swept away, slipping away. But it's from an observer's point of view and not really a participant's point of view. That's just how I look, how it feels. I'm just a spectator in another man's life. Pet his dog, kiss his wife, and pay all the bills, but I don't know what for. I look out the window and open the door, but I never step into his life. I never step life. I'm just an observer, something I know nothing about. I may talk a good game, but I'm always in doubt. I'm just a spectator, another man's dream. I may seem what it seems, but I'm always not what it seems. And I never step into his life. I never step into his life. That's just what it seems like to me.
Well,
I mean, it's not an indictment.
No.
It's not an accusation, it's an observation.
Not a damnation, but an observation.
Yeah. I don't want to make you feel on the spot, but it's just something I've noticed.
Well, that's interesting, because I write from an observational point of perspective often.
Mm-hmm. Well,
And that could seem like a spectator, but to get to that point of observation, sometimes you have to get through the other side of the window, of the door. You have to walk through the door.
That's jive. You're talking jive now.
I'm talking jive?
Talking jive. It's the other side. You gotta, man,
how do you get to the other side?
Maybe you've never been to the other side. Maybe you like to think you've been to the other side. But I think you... I don't know if you've really touched madness. You know, maybe not to the extent that other people have. That's not to say that I'm pulling rank or saying I've been madder than you. You know, I don't want to pull that. But,
touching madness.
Right. Maybe that's what that title is. Maybe it's like subconsciously. You know, you're there, touching it, but as like a scientist would.
Well, sometimes you have to...
In it's okay.
No, you're not putting me on the spot.
I am.
No, I'm trying.
I'm just saying. I noticed that the songs have just had a passive feel to them. Some of them, I've tried to breathe life into them, and I've tried my best, but some of them, just that page alone, it begins very much like recounting insanity. And then took a detour. A detour into passivity, or just observance, and not activity, or living it, really feeling it. Maybe it's the tense. Maybe it's the tense, and the tense would change in some of that. I don't want to be at loggerheads with this.
No, I hear you. What I'm thinking about is maybe there's some truth to something. You know, we're real good at seeing other people, but maybe. When we see ourselves, we think maybe you're talking about somebody else. But maybe my observations. Come from a place that I understand.
Yeah, that's all that any of us can do is approach it from an area that we understand.
And my understanding about my experience has brought me to this place,
right?
As well as yours.
Right. Like I say, I don't want to ever say I'm crazier than you are, so I know what this is all about, and you don't. Someplace that you've never been, you'll never understand. I don't say pull that, because some people do that. So maybe it's not fair to say that. Stepped into my life, you never stepped into my life.
Never stepped into your shoes.
Into my life. Stepping in your shoes is using a cliche, and you gotta watch that. You know, I'm. That's a technique in songwriting, to invert the cliche or introduce a cliche to give a listener something to listen to that's familiar, that will lull them in, and then you twist it. But, I guess it's good to have this conversation.
Well, you know, I think that there's more to this than meets the eye, in the sense that we all live in some sort of disguise, a masquerade of sanity.
Sure.
And often it's just a disguise. I mean, I don't have the answers.
Mm-hmm. I'm not looking for the answers right now.
No. I mean, I don't have the answer in the sense of whose life you're living and whose life I'm living.
Right.
I think whose life you're living is given where you come from and given where I've come from. We're trying to keep a balance in it. But I know for me that I've walked the line.
Walked the line.
But I can't prove that. I don't need to prove that. We really don't know what goes on in each other's minds. I mean, what do we know about what goes on in our own minds? And what is the mind?
Collective consciousness. We're all living the same mind, more or less. And it manifests itself in what we're living. because we all have the same consciousness. Just some people's veer off a little bit more in one or two directions. People go insane, they peek behind the curtain. That's the kind of feeling I've had.
They peek behind this collective
reality that we all have, and they see the truth behind it. And who's to say what that real truth is? But maybe it's just...
So peeking behind the curtain, mm-hmm. What do we see? What do you see?
When we're insane? I thought aliens were controlling it all.
You mean they're not?
I'm being silly now. I don't go any further than that.
Why?
Because you're being silly.
Oh, just playing with you.
Yeah, I'm serious.
So you thought aliens were controlling
us? Or some kind, maybe the alien within us. Maybe I was peeking and the only way I could conceptualize it were aliens. But it's like another level of us. A more intellectual, or maybe a more intuitive, more enlightened.
Or more sensitive us? What?
I don't think you get what I'm saying. Maybe when you go insane, you finally touch reality, the reality of it all. That what we're living in our conscious, sane mind is the collective consciousness. And when we go insane, we actually see what we've created. And it's too heavy for the mind to hold on to. It's kind of like an ant colony. If you've studied ants, you'll see if they got the workers, which all of us are, or most of us are, 98% of us. And I kind of feel like maybe that's what we're living. And this is just an ant farm. A big circular ant farm. Now the question becomes, who's the queen or who's controlling it? Much like in an ant farm, there's a hierarchy. And is it God that's controlling this? And those of us who go insane, we glimpse it. The medication that we're all taking, which is the air that we breathe, that keeps our mind straight, or at least straight on the path of this collective consciousness. Maybe some of us decompensate a bit from that, or the uptake is a little off, and we go insane, and we see what it really is, which is more than we can comprehend. So, the alien within us, the creators, or creator, has us unconsciously create mental hospitals to keep those who glimpse what's really going on from seeing what it is, and giving them a pill or a drug that they've created that will keep us on the righteous path of collective consciousness. And they don't even know why they're doing it. They call doctors. Or someone tells them to go to school and become this doctor that can help people gain their sanity. When really, they don't even know that they're pawns keep you from glimpsing the reality.
And what is that reality?
The reality is this collective consciousness behind the veil of life, of reality.
You mean that we're all connected?
Connected to something. Connected to something. And this could be God. I'm trying to avoid religion, but this is what some people may think of as God.
Yeah, but that's an easy way to...
I'm not saying it is. I know you're agnostic. No. I know you don't believe in God, so...
Well, I don't not believe in it either. I just believe that we create things to make sense out of things that don't make sense.
Exactly. And that's what I think it is. Some people have created gods, and they've created priests.
And they've created doctors.
For those, just like they created doctors, they can send you to school to become a priest. Unconsciously. You know? To keep those who can only conceptualize it as God or as a religion, to keep them thinking about it and going along, keeping up the veil. The veil must never drop. Maybe a million moons of years ago, a consciousness created this world to keep it going, but for some reason that we'll maybe never will understand.
Or maybe not. Maybe it just happened that way. Circumstances.
No, well, you're missing the point of what I'm saying.
I understand.
10 minutes explaining what, you know.
No, I understand what you're saying, but I'm just saying maybe there's no rationale or intellectualization. Maybe that's just what it is.
It's too unified to be just what it is. Much like with ants, there's a reason for their being. If only to show us how we live. I'm going to use as a metaphor or example by the hierarchy, our hierarchy, to relate, to be relatable to those who may want to try and understand. And maybe there are some of us who do understand exactly what it is, while still being doped up, while still being unconscious. But maybe they've glimpsed it without being insane. And who knows who those people are?
Could be the guy those could down be, the street.
It could be, but I think the people who can lead others. Leaders, no. I hate to say it. But there may be some leaders. Leaders in some sense or another. Not necessarily the politicians. But leaders in another sense. Who are slowly, generation by generation, slowly. Could be the leader of a family that we've never heard of. A patriarch who finally pieced it together, or was allowed to piece it together. Who's as far removed from a world leader as could possibly be. But he is, through his family, pushing us in the right direction, or the direction of where we need to go.
I'm a firm believer in what I call the butterfly theory, which is that a butterfly flapping its wings can not only change the direction of a storm, but create a storm.
Right. Well, maybe that's true.
Maybe that's true.
Maybe it's true. I mean, that plays into what I'm trying to say. And we're all connected. We have legs and arms like the insects. We're different from them, but in another way, we're not. They're just offshoots, or we're just offshoots from them. Because they've been here probably long before us. So maybe they're part of the divinity, or the core being, or maybe closer to what God is than we are. We've evolved, or been allowed to evolve from that, from what it really once was. And if we saw God today, we'd freak out. We wouldn't be able to handle it. It'd probably look monstrous to us. Maybe it's a collective of everything that once was and is and will be. That's too much for the mind to evaluate. Even from all the holy rollers, you know, who believe that he's a white-haired old white guy, you know, like looking like you.
Hey.
No, I'm serious. No, who believe that he's some old white man with white beard up in the clouds. They believe those paintings, which are really blasphemous, if what I'm saying might be true. And maybe thousands and thousands of years ago, Jesus did come.
Or maybe there were many Jesus.
Maybe there were many Jesus. But that was the chronicle of one. I mean, you know, it boggles the mind, man. But it bears thinking.
Boggles the mind, but it's better to think.
It bears thinking.
Bears thinking.
I only say this because I've peeked behind the veil. You know, and I think you see something other when you go crazy, when you lose, you know, when you become disconnected from the feed.
From the hive.
From the hive, yeah. You see what it might be, just what it might be. And you think about it for the rest of your life. No matter how well you get, you think about it. Some people never get better. People think about it forever. But some people, maybe I'm one of the fortunate few who get back up on the feed, but will always think about what might be behind that curtain.
What might have been.
I don't know, what might be. Not what might have been, what might be. Because it's still happening, because life is still going on.
So maybe what might be is what is happening.
We're still working in the hive, you know, we're still in the farm.
Where are we going?
We may never know in our lifetime. Others didn't. Others didn't know. Millions of others, billions of others, trillions of others.
Yeah, well. We're here now. The future
right,
is coming.
But we're cogitating. Probably people have cogitated for millions of years. The meaning of life. The meaning of our lives. Within the life that we live.
I mean, go through all these gymnastics and what is it?
What do you think about the meaning? What do you think the meaning of your life is? But it's kind of, you're skirting around the issue and using all these platitudes. But you're avoiding...
Platitudes.
You're avoiding... What I'm trying to say. What do you think your purpose is? Have you thought about it?
Yeah. My purpose is to bug the shit out of you.
I knew you were going to go there.
No, it is not.
I didn't know you were going to go
there. How did you know I was going to go there? I didn't even know.
Because you're evasive.
I'm a bit. No, my purpose is to be me. It's to learn what it's like to be alive, to live, to dream.
It's selfish.
Of course. I suggest that most people, if this was a really selfish society, then other people, would want to share their selfishness with others. In other words, if you took selfishness to the end, where you were just thinking about you, right? Well, you wouldn't have anybody to share it with. So the real dynamics of a selfish life, as far as I can see, is that you would want to live in a world where you had everything that you could imagine that would be without hurting anybody else, and you would want that for everybody else in the collective consciousness.
What are you contributing to the collective consciousness? What are you contributing to the high?
My dreams.
Your dream?
Yeah. My dream is to...
The dream is just something they pump into you when you get too exhausted every day. Just to make you feel good. It's like a drug. Dreams are a drug.
Well, art is. You're here playing, and we're talking, and I'm recording this, and you're talking, and that's a dream. A dream that.
This isn't a dream.
It's not.
This isn't a dream.
What is it?
A dream is a drug. A dream is a nightly drug that we get when we sleep. It's narcotized. We're narcotized every night by whoever, whatever that's out there that's running the high. And keep us going.
Well, our bodies need to rest.
This isn't a dream. This is... I don't know if they plan everything, or they give us a little bit of free will. We're hooked up to a feed, but we can still think.
And we have...
And by our thinking about this, maybe we're making a difference. Well, maybe I've glimpsed behind the curtain, And I've talked to somebody who's gotten to the curtain and thought that there was something behind there, but never quite saw what was behind there. But maybe I'm giving myself too much importance. I'm giving you too much importance. Well, maybe I'm... If I were right, I'd like to know before I die if I was right or not.
Well, we could arrange that.
I sometimes think about it. Of all those wondrous things that I saw that were otherworldly and from far beyond the scope of imagination, was just my head without the drug or a drug. To being without the real drug, which is the feed, the air that they allow us to breathe, you know, that keeps us thinking about going back and forth to work or back and forth to school to then go back and forth to work.
We just go back and forth.
Let's go back and forth, but not to... Bears thinking.
No, I...
I don't think you're serious about it. Well, but I don't think you're...
Yeah, you just,
No, I'm very serious.
I'm serious too.
No, you're not. I'm very serious about it.
Yeah, but you see, that there is a you leave out one point, my friend.
Which is what?
The joy of absurdity is the joy of life. You have to be able to let, you know, because all of life is full of humor. Even the most humorous place... are the most
those
horrendous places.
Those are games that they give us. They give us a sense of humor. That could be something that they've bestowed upon us, like the little bit of free will that we think we have.
Well, I think of Primo Levi, who lived, and all the others who lived through the Holocaust, who lived through Auschwitz, who lived through concentration camps, and those people who are living through them today in their own way, in their own minds. Maybe we're our most realists, and in those moments. But what's also interesting is that the sense of humor that came out of the people in the concentration camps, faced with death at every and hunger and every, had incredible sense of humor.
Well, not only that, but a lot of good things come out of desperation and come out of darkness. I mean, the Gospels came out of slavery. You know, gospel came, you know.
But maybe your hive mechanism is, or hive thought, is about slavery also.
It is. I think we may be slaves or pawns.
In whose game?
What's game?
What's the game? Who's controlling this game?
It's not about a who, I don't think it has more of a...
Well, are you looking
something far beyond our scope of imagination that we must not see it, or else we'll go insane, or else we'll freak the fuck out. And a lot of us have freaked out because we saw it, or we saw what we thought we saw. We were on the road to seeing something that we just couldn't handle, and it blew our mind because we knew it was bigger than we could think of. We knew it was greater than anything we could imagine. That scared us. We fight. And that's why they gave us humor. That's why they gave us humor.
But who's they?
It.
Who's it? I sometimes...
You don't want to bow down.
No, I just don't buy the worshipping the mind with metaphors or with monuments or with religion or battleships. I mean, people go to war and... And the same way, you ever notice the similarity between war and worship? You know, and it's all for the mind. The mind creates these monuments, these buildings, whether they be...
That's all programmed, pre-programmed. You're still stuck in life.
Yeah, you're still stuck in life.
You're stuck in life.
And you're not?
I'm trying to think beyond. Why the monuments? They were all created for a reason. Everything was created for a reason.
I'm not sure of that.
I think so.
I think things have evolved out of circumstances that we don't really understand.
You don't want to understand it.
Do we need to understand?
Maybe, there are things maybe in you're life. Afraid. Maybe there and are, maybe you should be afraid.
Maybe there are things in life which are indescribable.
Of course. Of course.
And maybe that we give these names and religions and things to things which are indescribable, and yet we create these whole things, and if so many people believe in something, how can it be wrong?
Oh, no, that's platitudes again. You're filming your baby doc now.
Hey, watch your language.
No, I'm serious.
Watch your language.
You slip every so once in a while into geo mode, you know?
Oh, low blow.
You do.
Low blow.
Understand your purpose.
What is the purpose to my purpose?
Maybe you just don't understand it and it troubles you. Which is why you don't believe. There are a lot of unbelievers out there. A lot of people who doubt.
Believe what?
Just doubt.
I believe in doubt.
No, I see you're playing again.
What am I supposed to believe in?
That's your biggest problem. That's your issue right there. That's
my issue.
That's your epitaph. I hope that won't be your epitaph, but right now that's your epitaph.
What?
What am I supposed to believe? Here's a lot of geography. Quote unquote. What am I supposed to believe in now?
Oh, there's not supposed to be a now. What am I supposed to believe in now? Well, I mean,
you may get it. They say, though, that when people look into the eyes of their grandchild, they understand a little bit more. They glimpse a little bit more.
Well,
and you've had grandchildren. You know, you're reluctant to call them your grandchildren.
Well, I did see that in my...
Which is a personal issue.
I did see that in my daughter's daughter. When I first saw her the first time, I looked at my mother and I said... And she looked at me and we knew.
Mm.
She knew, and I said to myself, and I said to her, we can't teach her anything. We can learn from her. She knows everything there ever is or will be.
And that's very sweet and nice.
No, but that's actually how I felt.
I think you put a little too much stake and faith into the corporeal, into the human, into the body, into the person. And you don't go deeper or higher, for lack of a better. You don't, you know.
Well, I've made an art of shallowness, as you know. What? I don't accept everything that's told to me. I don't believe in whatever what other people... I have to know for myself. And for many things,
you're a part of the hive, too.
Of course.
Yeah.
I'm no different than anybody else.
But you're afraid to go deeper and see what's really controlling the hive. Or you're in denial about there being something or someone controlling the hive.
But so are you.
No, I'm not.
No?
No.
Well, tell me. Talk to me.
I don't know what it is. I think I glimpsed it. And they put me in one of their boxes with one of their doctors who said, oh, you know, you need some of this. Stay straight. There's some people who believe that marijuana... being a plant, something grown, we're getting into actually Rastafarianism here, which I don't know if that's healthy to do. If they think they talk to God when they get high, the Indians thought so, going back hundreds of years.
Well, it was just a different consciousness of their mind, so it was different. Like people who get drunk, people who watch television, people who read, people who play music, people who do art.
It's not quite, no. When the mind is altered from the set coordinates.
Set coordinates?
The set coordinates that keep us all thinking and believing the same thing, seeing the same thing, seeing you in this apartment, looking out the window and seeing New York City and all the other ants going back and fro.
But they are us.
Right. What I'm saying is, we're all controlled and following the same edicts and coordinates.
Well, we're all hardwired by our DNA, by history, by millennia, by thousands and millions of years of...
But you're neglecting deliberation, intention, intent. You're neglecting that maybe someone or something or some things.
But I'm not as delusional as you.
I'm not saying... No, it's just a way of thinking, and you're being silly again. Because the mic is off.
Mic is off. No, the point I'm referencing is I don't accept things because other people tell them. I question things.
Nobody's telling. No, but
so I'm at. You know, so we're having this conversation.
I'm not telling you anything. I'm not saying. All I'm saying is what I believe, or what I believe, what I feel, what I intuit.
Well, I think we're all connected by many different things. I'm not denying it. I just don't think that.
You think it's all random still?
No, I don't know what it is.
What have you thought about it?
I've thought about it.
And what have you come up with? And what are some of those thoughts? What have some of those thoughts been?
Well, my thought has been around how easily we are to accept things because we need catch-alls, we need a safety net, we need to feel like we're, like this life that we're living has some direction and meaning and to something or somebody, and that so we go along to get along, so we belong, because we need to belong to believe. And even though it might be wrong, it doesn't matter. People go and commit suicide in masses, they call them war, they go and do crazy things like drinking themselves into oblivion, or like committing suicide to try and get out of their minds, to get out of their body by killing their bodies. People do very strange things because their minds have been so confronted with unimaginable things, traumatic things.
Is this your solo?
Whoa! This is my monologue. This is a soliloquy that goes on in my head all the time. You're just an aberration. You asked me what I was thinking about.
No, but I've heard that before from you.
Well, no, but I'm just pointing out that the reference point is that why do we do what we do if... You know, is what,
do what
we're really
we do in terms of?
In terms of how we live in our skins and how we live in the world. So you've peeked behind the window, the veil, and found that we're all connected.
Yeah. But maybe in a way that some of us may not like, that you may not like. Maybe in being a maverick and wanting to question things you don't want to believe, that you're a puppet.
Speak for yourself.
There you go. Injecting humor in uncomfortable moments.
No, but I'm just saying that.
Maybe you're a puppet, like the rest of us. But you have a purpose, because you've been given purpose to my life. You know? But like, just like some puppets are vanquishing hero and the damsel in distress, some puppets are the clown.
Are you calling me a clown? Or a vanquishing hero? Where's my sword? My Excalibur. Well, here it is. I know I hit it somewhere. Well, you know, I don't know. I don't have the same...
I know that hurts.
What? Do we call me a puppet?
No, but... That may not be how you see yourself. And maybe they've allowed you to create this delusional atmosphere of independence, severe independence, to keep you from recognizing the fact that you're a puppet like the rest of us, with a purpose, but still a puppet.
Well, we live, we die, we don't know why.
Some may not know why, others might. Some may find out before they go.
Well, I had a conversation with Mao Zedong's doctor, who was his doctor for 25 years, and he said Mao couldn't believe that he was dying. How could he die? He had already convinced himself that he was a god.
That's because that's Mao. And Mao, he you will die like that if you convince yourself you're greater than yourself.
Greater than yourself. I'm not sure I agree with you upon this...
puppet aspect? Well... No, I knew you wouldn't.
I'm not sure you agree 100% about it.
About myself being a puppet?
No, about this whole puppet tree.
I think so. I'm just saying. I think they may, you know. If it, you know, and you may call it going along to get along, but I call it just kind of like acceptance. If I were to be a puppet in another consciousness, what can I do to stop it? And maybe those strings aren't such a bad thing, because you're connected to a consciousness, you're connected to a being or beings greater and more benevolent by allowing us to live and to some extent live our lives.
But I don't know about these things. I'm a firmly... believer in that I don't know what I don't know.
But you don't want to entertain the idea that you're a puppet.
No, I don't. I have no doubts that I'm a puppet, but I just don't know if there's somebody playing with the puppet strings.
Well, you're not.
I'm a puppet to my DNA and to my hormones.
See,
and
you're giving yourself too much credit. You're giving yourself too much power.
I'm just saying I've been conditioned. My body is. There's two things. You got your body, and there's, and I learned this from watching a shoot 'em out western where the guy, I think it was John Wayne, or no, it was Clint Eastwood maybe, says to this whippersnapper guy who's trying to gun him down, and you know wants to. He says, you know, have you ever seen a man just standing there, and all of a sudden he's just a body? You want to just be a body.
That's what you want.
No, but I'm just saying is that, so maybe there's energy that fills our body that we don't know where it comes from or where it goes. I don't know. But when we're dead, we're just dead. We're just a thing.
Whatever's controlling us.
We're just a thing.
Disconnects. And moves on.
I don't know if I go that route.
I know, you don't want to because you're afraid.
No, I'm not afraid. I just don't have the same,
Whatever is connecting us and using us, that disconnects us when we sleep and hooks us up to the dream machine, and then after a couple of hours or maybe a day's dreaming is like 100 years, and another one, you know, they hook up. They either get bored of us or they take in whatever they need to take in through us, and it's time for us to go. It's a thought,
but I think too much rhyme to reason. Trying to figure out something and make sense out of something maybe doesn't make sense.
Maybe.
I'm all for those things that are indescribable remaining indescribable. I don't know. Rather than making up something.
Well, you're part of a faction. I'm not making something. I saw this.
I know.
In my altered state. And,
You peeked behind the veil and you saw it and scared the shit out of yourself.
There you go. I ain't scared of shit. Maybe I scared the shit out of myself, or maybe something scared the shit out of me. But we'll never know. I don't know if it's going to happen in my lifetime where the truth will reveal itself. And maybe I'm just a guy who bugged out. Or maybe I saw what was really there. That's the eternal question for me.
Now, do you know what you saw?
Yeah.
Can you talk about it?
It's gonna sound crazy.
This already sounds crazy. Don't worry about it.
No, I saw us connected to something. We're all connected.
So why not just leave it there? Why do we have to know?
Bye. Maybe that's why they keep me on the medication. Because I knew. I saw. And I can't let people know. And if I were to do a book on it, or a painting on it, which I've done, or make a movie about it, if I was so lucky, I'd be seeing this guy with his vivid imagination. But little else. Maybe a bug out. Definitely not the truth. That can't be true. That can't be true. That can't be true.
It can't be true. It can't be true.
Too freaky. Too weird. Too many people think like Geo.
Or like Iz.
No, too many people think like Geo.
Like Iz.
No, too many people think like Geo.
Like Iz.
People think they're in control of their lives.
And nobody's in control of their lives except for Iz.